Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 39 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Yeah, it's a sad situation when a bystander is inside of a store and is attempting to flee from the store when something like this has taken place.
A Knox County man is dead after a robbery yesterday morning.
Two people are charged in a Winchester shooting.
Kentucky State Police seized 156 marijuana plants from a home in Fleming County.
Charges against a former Boyd County jailer have been dismissed.
Rowan County's new clerk has hit the ground running.
In sports, Moorhead State hosts a doubleheader against SEMO tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And rain mainly before midnight tonight with lows around 36. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Knox County man is dead after a robbery at an A&B Quick Stop on U.S. 25 Wednesday morning. According to WYMT, a man walked into the store and pointed a handgun at the clerk. The clerk was shot multiple times as he attempted to leave the store. Shane Jacobs is a Kentucky State Trooper. He says they believe the suspect had a getaway driver.
A vehicle had pulled up to the business, and it appears that he got inside this vehicle and fled.
Police have identified the suspect as 24-year-old Philip Lewis. Police are asking for any information on Lewis's whereabouts and urge not to approach him and instead to call 606-573-3131.
The coroner has released the name of a person killed in a two-vehicle crash in Elliott County. It happened Monday night on Kentucky 7 in Sandy Hook. Kentucky State Police tell LEX18 James Barker was pronounced dead at the scene. They say Barker was heading south when he crashed with another vehicle heading north. Investigators say it looks like Barker crossed into oncoming traffic and hit the pickup truck. Two teens in that truck, Gage Evans and Clark Howard, were taken to a local hospital. They are still recovering.
Two individuals are being charged in regards to a shooting last week in Winchester. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
The Winchester Sun reports 20-year-old Jacob Hornback and his girlfriend, 21-year-old Nicole Cunningham, were arrested and charged in connection with an early morning shooting. Police also arrested 20-year-old Chase Winings of Lexington for allegedly shooting 23-year-old Dalton Rogers early Tuesday morning. Authorities say the shooting could be connected to a robbery at a home on Westwood Drive late Monday night. Rogers was shot twice while seated in his car, then drove himself to the Winchester Police Department, where he was transported to UK Medical Center with major injuries. Hornback and Cunningham face charges of complicity to first-degree assault. Winings is charged with first-degree assault and is currently in the Clark County Detention Center on a $100,000 bond. Rogers remains in critical but stable condition at UK Medical Center. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Kentucky State Police arrested 39-year-old Robert Leach Wednesday after finding an indoor growing operation in Fleming County. Officials say they seized 156 marijuana plants from a home in the Sherburne area after an anonymous tip. Leach was charged with cultivating and trafficking marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and illegal poaching of deer. No bond has been set.
Republican State Representative Robert Goforth is denying allegations that he sexually assaulted a Somerset woman a decade ago. According to the Daily Independent, the allegations started last weekend when Alicia Whitaker posted a petition on moveon.org claiming she was a victim of assault initiated by Goforth. Whitaker says he had a consensual sexual relationship with Goforth, but she says during an encounter about 10 years ago, Goforth forced her to engage in oral sex with a business associate. Whitaker says she originated the online petition because she feels Goforth is not fit to govern. It is unclear if Goforth plans to end his candidacy for governor.
A former Kentucky lawmaker has resigned from his position at the State Department of Education. According to WKYT, Brad Montell's name was brought up in a deposition by the woman who accused the state's ex-House Speaker of sexual harassment. Montell wrote a post on social media saying he was stepping down. Montell served as Deputy Secretary of the Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Cabinet and served as Director for Government Relations at the Education Department. The woman stated in her deposition that when she asked Montell to donate a political candidate, he said he'd do so only if she sat in his lap.
Charges against a former Boyd County jailer have been dismissed. WMKY's Haley Stidham has more.
Former Boyd County jailer Joe Burchett was indicted in December of 2017 on criminal malfeasance charges after multiple issues at the jail, including escapes, overdoses, and a riot. According to WYMT, Burchett resigned from his position after two inmates died in the facility. Court documents say Boyd County attorney Dan King met with the Boyd County Fiscal Court and determined there was no objection to dismissing the charge. When Burchett was originally indicted, he was facing a $100 to $1,000 fine and would have been removed from his position as Boyd County jailer. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Stidham.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court unanimously approved a contract with a new medical provider for the Boyd County Detention Center. According to the Daily Independent, Southern Health Partners will be taking the place of Advanced Correctional Health Care and will offer 24-hour care equipped with a registered nurse and two funding pools for off-site services and medications. Boyd County jailer Bill Hensley said that any time an inmate goes to the hospital and the expense hits over $1,000, it can be taken out of the pool. If an inmate needs medical attention, they only have to pay a $10 copay. Hensley says dental insurance will also be more cost-efficient with a dental truck that will come to the jail for around $2,000 each trip.
Lexington Christian Academy will be closed tomorrow due to a large amount of students and faculty becoming ill. According to WKYT, the school has received many reports of cold and flu-like symptoms, which prompted the closings at both campuses. The school will undergo a deep cleaning throughout the weekend, with students due to return on Tuesday. Other LCA activities will still go on as scheduled, including its Faith Service Excellence event with Team Tebow as featured speaker.
A Carter County pharmacist was back in court this week. WMKY's Naya Andueza has the story.
30-year-old Tommy Deerfield Jr. appeared in circuit court on Monday for a pretrial conference. He pleaded not guilty to illegally dispensing controlled substances and falsifying medical records in November. According to the Grayson Journal, attorney Robin Webb, serving as Deerfield's counsel, told the judge they were still reviewing discovery documents delivered by Commonwealth's attorney Brandon Eisen, as well as seeking ways to regain Deerfield's licensures. Phillips gave Webb another 60 days to complete her discovery, setting Deerfield's next court date on March 4th at 2 p.m. An October 2018 incident alleges that at the time of the incidents in 2017, Deerfield was working as a pharmacy manager at the Grayson Rite Aid. The 37 counts in his indictment include 28 counts of dispensing a controlled substance and 9 counts of criminal falsification of medical records. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andueza.
Lexington Catholic High School and DV8 Kitchen are teaming up this Valentine's Day in an effort to help people across the world. Lexington Catholic students are preparing for a mission trip to the Dominican Republic and are asking people to consider giving the gift of Valentine's Day-themed DV8 cinnamon rolls. Father Norman Fisher with Lexington Catholic had come to DV8 with the idea.
It just came to my mind that DV8 would be amazing to partner with and have this Valentine with a heart for others concept.
25% of the proceeds from each cinnamon roll or ooey gooey caramel pecan order will be going towards helping the students help others.
Round County's new clerk has hit the ground running. The clerk's office has rolled out a new website that gives the option to do many things online that citizens would normally have to go to the clerk's office in person to do. Clerk Elwood Cottle Jr. talks about the website's features.
The entire website's something people need to look at. You can register to vote there. They can renew their tags online as long as, you know, they're not expired. If it's expired tags, then they have to come in. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do there that, you know, people really just didn't know about.
Round Countyans can visit the website at rowan.countyclerk.us.
A Western Kentucky University dormitory where mold was discovered last year will remain closed until fall while additional work is performed. The university said that Minton Hall won't reopen with other residence halls tomorrow for the spring semester. The residence hall closed November 12th when common mold was discovered. Remediation included replacement of room ceiling tiles, addition of venting tiles, new air filters, and repair and balancing of air handling equipment.
Round County High School's backpack program hopes to get a boost from a food drive held in conjunction with the basketball doubleheader against Menifee County on January 29th. The program helps provide meals for students who may be dealing with food insecurity at home. School health intern Dakota Barr talks about how people can donate.
We'll be accepting donations after the school day that day, so anytime really after 3 o'clock. They should just be able to come to the front entrance and talk to the front service workers there, and they should be able to accept the food there, or we're doing it before and during both of those home games.
Call 606-776-2165 for more information about the food drive and the backpack program. Taking a look at the extended weather forecast, tonight rain mainly before midnight with a low around 36 degrees. On Friday, patchy drizzle before 9 a.m., cloudy skies with a high near 41. On Friday night, a 10% chance of rain after 5 a.m., cloudy skies with a low around 35 degrees. On Saturday, rain mainly after 9 a.m. with a high near 49 degrees. On Saturday night, rain before midnight, then rain and snow between midnight and 1 a.m., with a low around 23 degrees. Looking at the temperatures for the surrounding area, in Fleming County, 39 degrees, in Maysville, 40 degrees, in Ashland, 39 degrees, in Inez, 38 degrees, Lexington, 41 degrees, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, 40 degrees.
On our feature story this afternoon, state lawmakers have formed a committee to tackle Kentuckians' concerns about the public pension system. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
Nearly a year after the controversial sewer bill, which would have effectively overhauled the public pension system in Kentucky, state lawmakers are still trying to figure out what to do. That's why the Public Pension Working Group was formed.
Ultimately, the goal of the committee is to kind of come up with some type of legislative proposal that can be evaluated and, you know, theoretically voted on, you know, towards the end of the session.
Bo Craycraft is a senior legislature committee analyst with the Kentucky Legislative Research Commission.
And so basically what they're going to do is they're going to kind of a little bit more significant dive into, like, what do the pension plans look like? Where are they at currently? We're facing situations where some of our plans are significantly underfunded. Others have seen funding levels kind of decline over the last decade, you know, trying to figure out why.
The 8 retirement plans for public workers in Kentucky have over 500,000 members and nearly $43 billion in unfunded liabilities, according to the Courier-Journal. With so much on the line, members of both major parties have come together.
So you've got Representative Jerry Miller and Senator Will Schroeder as the chairs. You have 10 other members, are all legislative, includes both leadership and, you know, just other members of both parties, either the Democrat, Republican, and then also members of the Senate and House of Representatives.
Members met for the first time this Tuesday to introduce the problem and get the ball rolling. The Public Pension Oversight Board may also present outlines for group members.
That's a statutory committee, and it's going to be staff from that committee that's going to kind of just do a summary of, you know, the 3 major pension plans, which is the KERS plan, the CERS plan, and the teacher plan.
However, according to Craycraft, the following meetings will focus on each of the 8 plans and the problems they face.
There's going to be a meeting or two that'll be kind of like trying to set a foundation. And then my understanding is that the meetings are going to take more of a focus on each of the plans. So, like, you'll go through a period where maybe for a week or two they'll spend just dedicated time on TRS, the teacher plan. And so you'll probably have staff from those systems come and present, testify.
The working group model has been used in the past for various policies.
This model has been utilized in the past with not just pensions, but anytime you're looking at doing some type of what I would call reform or restructuring, whether it be like educational or, you know, judiciary, a lot of times they'll create these working groups that'll kind of meet. Most of the time it's in the interim, whereas this one, you know, they're kind of doing it within a session, but during a period which, you know, on a short session like this, we have about a 3-week period where you're kind of in between.
And the group has the ability to commission independent research to better understand the issue.
And these working groups also have the ability, they could hire a kind of a third-party consultant or an actuary that could come in and do some research and some testimony as well.
The Public Pension Working Group is expected to make recommendations to the General Assembly by February 15th. However, if the co-chairs feel an extension is needed, the deadline could potentially move to December 1st of this year. Craycraft says the direction taken is at the discretion of the group.
Ultimately, the committee gets to decide kind of where they go. And so, you know, the idea is to try to sit down and collectively make a plan, but it's all subject to kind of wherever the membership wants to go. And so that's kind of the hard part. Until we kind of get going and you start to see the questions that are being asked and the path they take, it's probably going to take a week or two to see where that's going.
For residents with concerns about Kentucky's public pension system, the Public Pension Working Group welcomes comments by emailing them at publicpensions@lrc.ky.gov. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 4:46 and 39 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
The Eagles host a doubleheader tonight at Johnson Arena for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. Moorhead State's basketball teams host a doubleheader with Southeast Missouri tonight. The Moorhead State women's team enters the matchup coming off a record-setting 85-62 win over Tennessee State. The Eagles are currently 11-6 overall and 2-2 in OVC play. Head coach Greg Todd says his team is expecting a tough matchup tonight.
They're very strong at the guard position, have an excellent group of guards. They play some full court pressure like we do. They're always well prepared, and last year we played them twice. This will be the only time we play them this year. But in our two outings last year, I think both games came down to the last possession.
The Eagle women tip off at 5:05 p.m. The men's team will face off at approximately 7:35 p.m. The Eagle men are 1-3 in OVC play and picked up their first win, a 74-61 triumph at Tennessee State on Saturday. SEMO has an identical OVC mark. Prior to last season, the Redhawks had only defeated the Eagles here in Moorhead one time since the 2007-2008 season. Eagle head coach Preston Spradlin says those stats can be deceptive.
Once you get into league play, no matter what conference you're in, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And I think that's important to keep in mind with Southeast Missouri. I think they're at 6 wins on the year. And so on paper, it looks like, you know, this would be a game that we should win being at home. And I agree that we should, but I think it's important to keep in mind the matchups. They're a tough matchup for us.
The games will be streamed on ESPN Plus and broadcast on 96.3 FM. The Rowan County boys hit the road tonight. They'll face off with 11-7 Lewis County. The Vikings are 16-2 on the season, coming off a 49-42 win at Russell on Tuesday night. Coach Sean Thacker says the Lions will be hungry for a win since they fell to the Vikings during EKC tournament early in the season.
They're going to be a physical team. The O'Keefe kid is one of the best players in the region. They got a solid team. The Ruckel kid's kind of a slasher, makes a lot of what-if plays. You know, he's a scrappy kid. They're hard-nosed, and, you know, it's one of the tougher places to play in our region.
Tip-off tonight in Vanceburg is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at other regional boys action tonight, East Carter hosts Greenup County. The Musketeers stand at 6-11 on the season, while the Raiders have a 4-11 record. Tip-off in Grayson is set for 7:30 p.m. In girls regional action, Russell hosts Ashland Blazer. The Red Devils are 13-3 on the season, while the Kittens stand at 11-5. Tip-off for that matchup is set for 7:30 p.m. The Lady Vikings travel to Owensboro today to prepare for the first round of the Kentucky 2A State Championship Tournament. Rowan faces off with Glasgow Friday at noon. KHSAA places the Lady Scotties at third in the fourth region, going into the matchup at 14-4 on the season. Rowan shows up at 13-3 on their season, holding on to third in the 16th region. Coach Matt Stokes says he's expecting Glasgow to play a half-court set.
From what I had seen, it looked like, you know, they wanted to set up in a zone defense and kind of hunker down. So I think if we can get it to our kind of pace, then we'll be just fine.
You can listen to that game tomorrow on 106.1 WMOR. Two Moorhead athletic groups are headed to the national championship this weekend. WMKY's Brian Courtney has the story.
The MSU dance team returns to competition this year, kicking off their competition at 2:32 p.m. on Friday with their routine at Disney's Wide World of Sports, followed by the stunt teams that evening. The all-girl and co-ed cheer squads compete at the United College Athletics Nationals in Orlando, Florida. Both teams go on Saturday, with the all-girl team kicking things off at 1:47. Finally, MSU's Beaker is back in action at the mascot competition on Saturday at 3:15 p.m. Updates on the event can be found at MSUEagles.com. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
The University of Kentucky men's basketball team is aiming to help federal workers during the government shutdown. On his weekly radio show, head coach John Calipari announced he's partnered with Kroger and Reach Incorporated to assist those in need. He says federal employees need to know they're cared for and valued.
You just want them to know that you care, or you understand, or you feel. It's not like, well, they're government worker. No, they got families and people.
In his previous charitable work, Coach Calipari worked with WKYT for the Teaming Up for Texas telethon. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the longtime voice of the Cincinnati Reds is retiring. KNN's Paul Miles reports.
I think now is the right time.
The 2019 baseball season will be the last behind the microphone for Marty Brenneman.
It's something I've thought about a long time. It's something I've anguished over more than anything I've anguished over in my life.
The 76-year-old Brenneman joined the Reds radio team in 1974. He's known for his signature call after each win, and this one belongs to the Reds.
Nobody loves their job more than I do. I love to broadcast baseball. I work for wonderful people.
Brenneman's son, Tom, is also a Reds broadcaster. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader tonight. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose on the back of a report that said the U.S. could ease tariffs on Chinese goods during their trade negotiations with China. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 162.94 at 24,370.10. The S&P 500 was up 19.86 at 2635.96, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 49.77 at 7084.46. The idea on tariffs being eased was actually floated by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, according to the Wall Street Journal. The report added that Mnuchin did face pushback from U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, who thinks any concession could be seen as a sign of weakness. Later in the afternoon, there also came word from the State Department, the Treasury Department, that a spokesperson who was working with the team involved in the trade negotiations actually said that neither Treasury Secretary Mnuchin nor Ambassador Lighthizer have made any recommendations to anyone with respect to tariffs or other parts of the negotiation with China. And the markets pulled back, of course, when that came out, although the markets did trade up as we went into the 4 o'clock close. And both Caterpillar and Boeing jumped 2% today, and of course both are seen as bellwethers for global trade given their exposure to overseas markets. Apple also rose 0.6%. Morgan Stanley reported earnings and revenue that fell short of Wall Street estimates. The company's results were dragged down by poor performances in its trading and wealth management businesses, and Morgan Stanley shares fell 4%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.1%, finishing at $52.26 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,291.60 an ounce. In Europe's stocks were little changed. The Stock 600 index was up less than 0.1%. And in Asia, stocks were somewhat weak today. The Nikkei was down 0.2%, and the Shanghai Composite was down 0.4%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Caterpillar. The worst performers were Home Depot and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Garrett Motion and Fastenal, and the worst performers were PG&E and Morgan Stanley. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp up 64 cents at $49.75, UPS up 2.56 at $99.55, Kroger up 22 cents at $28.92, Yum Brands up 88 cents at $90.71, Marathon Petroleum up $1.46 at $65.80, and AK Steel was up 7 cents to finish at $2.76. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is an Artisan Frameworks exhibit, on display through January 18th. Open weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free.
Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, will host a book signing by author Charles Dodd White from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, January 19th. The author will be signing copies of his latest novel, In the House of Wilderness.
Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will host an album release concert by The Woodsheep at 5 p.m. on Saturday, January 26th. Bring an instrument for a pre-concert jam session. Refreshments will be provided.
Aaron Blevins will present a senior percussion recital at 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 20th, in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. The concert is free and open to the public.
Also, in upcoming music events, the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will hold their annual meeting at the Rowan County Public Library at 5 p.m. on Monday, January 28th. All society members and season ticket holders are invited to attend.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held in the Button Hall Drill Room at Moorhead State University from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, January 30th and 31st. Donors must be provided with a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free long sleeve t-shirt.
And the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland welcomes magician Bill Blagg at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 8th. Tickets are priced from $18 to $38.
Taking one more look at the weather forecast, tonight rain mainly before midnight with a low around 36 degrees. On Friday, patchy drizzle before 9 a.m., cloudy skies with a high near 41. On Friday night, a 10% chance of rain after 5 a.m., cloudy skies with a low around 35. On Saturday, rain mainly after 9 a.m. with a high near 49 degrees. On Saturday night, rain before midnight, then rain and snow between midnight and 1 with a low around 23 degrees. And one more time at the temperatures, Fleming County 39 degrees, Maysville 40 degrees, Ashland 39 degrees, Inez 38 degrees, Lexington 41 degrees, and here on the campus of Moorhead State University, 40 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Haley Stidham, Keneally Roberts, Brian Courtney, Joe Lewis, Naya Andwaza, Leanne Akers, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature segment this afternoon comes from WMKY's Logan Pemberton. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.